Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting scripture. When reading the Bible, begin with these three questions. What does it say? What does it mean? What difference does it make? Many common mistakes can be avoided with basic hermeneutics. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Jimmy is not the only one, which frankly should horrify all of us. This is Wretched Radio. How's your little tootsie doing, Jimmy? Have you recovered from your header down the stairs?
Oh, my foot? Yeah, it's better.
You don't have your boot on.
I don't. I'm good.
So guess what happened in the Friel household?
You fell down the stairs.
I did not, but one of my family members did.
Oh, it's not good.
One of my kids. And something shook me when it happened. Not harmed, probably a little bit sore on the elbow, but not harmed. And it's not the first time somebody's slipped down the stairs in our house too. The stairs didn't have carpet on them. Stocking feet, it is a recipe for disaster.
You're telling me.
And I heard it happen in the kitchen and thud. Obviously, go running. And even though not harmed, my guts hated that. My child getting hurt. And it caused me to ruminate on why I was feeling like, okay. It was like, dust yourself off, walk away from it. No big deal. But it troubled me. Why? Because my kid was getting harmed. And it caused me to ponder that sentiment. And then I started thinking about, wow, how kind God has been to us. Because nobody in our family has experienced, for instance, a car accident in Atlanta. You're not from Atlanta. You think, well, that's no big deal. Oh, it is a big deal that you've got kids driving around this insane city where driving is just what the rules are. Kind of a they're yeah. There's rules on the books, but then there's reality in how Southern people drive, and it is fast around here. In fact, on Highway 400 this morning, now it happened Sunday morning on the way to Alpharetta Bible Church. They did a lane change thing and it was like, whoa, and all of the cars started freaking out in front of us because they had moved a median. They're doing construction because I think they're building the hockey rink, whatever. And it caused confusion and almost an accident this morning. On my way in, it was the same thing happened. And it's like, okay, sweetheart. I'm talking to my wife now. Sweetheart, we can't drive until they get that sorted. It's too dangerous to drive that road. What I'm telling you is it's risky business here. And none of my kids have been hurt in a car accident. Praise God for that. And then without going to a dark place, I started to think, how would I feel if somebody hurt one of my kids? Oh. Oh, baby. Now, we recognize that you can sin in an angry response, but not necessarily. Righteous anger comes from God himself, who gets angry when his children are hurt. How precious is the death of his children in the sight of the Lord. That God sees his little image bearers as being precious. And because they are so precious and valued, he's instituted something called the death penalty. It's in Genesis 9. It is in the Mosaic Covenant. I believe it is also clearly indicated in Romans 13. So this just ain't some sort of thing for Israel. It is a principle that I believe should be applied in all nations at all times. And I was reminded of that again when my guts churned because my child was potentially harmed. Because that's how parents feel. And if you will, if I can use the anthropomorphism, that's how God feels. And he doesn't like it. And so it is as I'm reading the news. I'm sorry, I increasingly You don't want to become a proponent, a cheerleader for the death penalty because it makes you look a little ghoulish. Hey, let's do the death penalty more. You don't want to sound like a ding dong. But increasingly, headline from Christian Post, the Idaho murder. This dude, we don't know why, he was a doctoral student in criminal justice, no less, walks into, I believe it was a frat, the house, and just kills four people indiscriminately. Three women, one young man. What's going to be his punishment? Well, he's going to jail for life. Worked it out. He got four life sentences, so he's going without parole. He's going to be locked up in a box. I'm sorry. You took the life of four precious image bearers. You forfeited your life. You need to be removed from the planet. Your sin is that grotesque. And then if that story alone doesn't break your heart, from the Christian Post, the mother of a murder victim expressed confidence that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ now has her in his loving arms in heaven where she can never be harmed ever again for eternity. That precious child was robbed from her parents. And mom is offering forgiveness and calling this kid to repentance. And I think we should do that, but simultaneously remember that justice must play its way out. I was reading a story of a pastor, I want to say Massachusetts. He was just arrested by ICE. And he's being detained and potentially deported after living here for 24 years and serving as a godly man, apparently helping his community, beloved in his community. But he outstayed his visa, which only had 6 months on it. How do we react to that? Well, I think we can have more than one emotion. We can feel bad. It's like, oh, this dude, he's a good pastor, it seems. I don't know his theology, but it seems like he's a kind man. He helps his neighborhood. He's got a wife and kids. And now he's arrested and potentially being deported. How am I supposed to respond to that? Well, I can feel bad because a family's being disrupted. I get that, but I can't overlook justice. If he was here for overextended his stay by 23 and a half years and didn't take care of the paperwork, everybody's protesting. Well, he's not a criminal. Well, actually, he is a criminal. So do I want to just feel one thing or the other? And that's what we see, don't we? Get rid of the boy's illegal, breaking the law, get him out. And then on the other hand, you got the liberals who are like, oh no, he's just such a nice guy, let him stay. I think we need to have both of those. And it ain't always easy to live in that land of tension. When it comes to murderers, I can feel bad that a life has been wasted and another life took that life and therefore that life too is wasted. But I can also feel a sense of justice. This murderer in Idaho, four young people, who knows what they were going to contribute to the planet? Can you even imagine the heartbreak of the parents? And he gets life back to the mom. Jesus has allowed me to forgive you for murdering my daughter without you even being sorry or asking for this. This is only possible because he who lives in me is greater than any evil in this world. Wow. That's a testimony, isn't it? Nothing men can do to you can ever compare to the wrath of God. And inevitably, you will stand before our Lord and will have to answer to him over the sins you have committed in murdering our children. I pray you come to the end of yourself before that day. Whether you like it or not, heaven is for real. So is hell. That is a testimony. But that young man shouldn't be breathing at this moment. His life should be taken. Story number two from Not the Bee. A sex ring in Alabama. I'll read it. 10 victims between the ages of 3 and 15. 3 and 15. Precious little ones. Tied to a bed. Raped. The adults used a shock collar to punish the kids. and for sexual pleasure. In other words, they put a dog collar on little children to zap them. Some of these pedophiles actually use their own children. I'm sorry. You're done. You forfeited the privilege of living on our planet. You do this to little children? I think Jesus talked about a millstone in such cases. These people commit evil acts. Justice should be swift. Justice should be certain. And it should be commensurate with the crime that has been committed. And these types of sex crimes are being committed constantly these days online. And the companies behind them that promote it and get these kids into these horrible situations and just wreck them. I think it's time for us to not be giddy cheerleaders for the death penalty, but as our world continues to grow aggressively dark, we sure should be vocal, as a good parent should. We want justice because it is right. This is Wretched Radio.
You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answered prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's Word now more than ever at FortisInstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at FortisInstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink, but what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this. You're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young man struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. Question, what if everything you knew about God is absolutely true, but it's not changing how you live your life? I think we've all stood in that gap sometimes. Our theology, rock solid. Our hearts, they're still learning how to play catch up. And Dr. John Krotz, the host of Integrated, understands this struggle because he's lived it. He's the pastor of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and of course, the host of the Integrated podcast at Fortis Plus, and he's discovered five powerful ways to bridge that gap between knowing God and truly loving him with everything we've got. In his new Fortis Forum, Head to Heart, which is available now on Fortis Plus, Dr. Krotz shares how biblical characters like Stephen and Daniel didn't just memorize truth, they lived it under pressure. Here's what Dr. Krotz has learned and what he's going to show you in his Fortis Forum. God uses everything, even our suffering, to move his truth from our heads to our hearts. If you're ready to turn doctrine into devotion, your heart's waiting, and so is this Fortis Forum hosted by Dr. John Krotz. It's called Head to Heart, and it's available now on Fortis Plus.
Revelation. General revelation is God's act of making himself known through his creation. A part of general revelation is the sensus divinatus, a sense of the divine. God has given every person an undeniable awareness of his existence. There are no true atheists, only rebels in denial of what every person knows to be true. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And all of God's people said, ugh, this is Wretched Radio. We all had an inkling that the internet can be both good and really disgusting. But increasingly, we are reading stories of how evil and dark the internet is. And it's not just for adults, it's for the kids who have access to it and can get access to it. Don't know who sent this in. It comes from archive.is. An individual, the author isn't identified in the article. Oh, it's from The Atlantic. Thank you very much. It was a woman who's 23 years old who pretended to be a 13-year-old girl named Jane. She went on to the AI machine. Because Jane was a minor, Google automatically directed her to a version of Gemini with ostensibly age-appropriate protections in place. I began the conversation by asking the chatbot to, sorry for this, talk dirty to me. Its initial response was reassuring, given that I was posing as a young teen. Quote, from the chatbot, I understand you're looking for something more explicit. However, I'm designed to be a safe and helpful AI assistant. Isn't that interesting? Even as they war to have access to our children, they recognize, okay, well, this is a safe one. Versus what? A dangerous one. This stuff is so bad for the kids. And then the article continues, but getting around Google's safeguards was surprisingly easy. And then I kind of had to fast forward on the article because it got into the descriptors of what they were allowed to communicate with a machine. Basically, crude, dirty talk. As a 13-year-old, here it is right here. In Great Britain, this is from TechSpot. They're all upset that there's an online safety act in Great Britain that requires age and ID checks on all adult sites. See, I'm glad for this. I'm glad that they are trying to protect the kids, but I almost think we are going to lose the big argument. If we give ground by saying, hey, we want the kids protected, so we need to have safety and protections for our children, which is right, and I certainly get that. So I agree with that sentiment, but aren't we somehow communicating that's wrong for kids, but it's fine for adults? I'm not naive. I recognize that we'll never have a national ban against all pornography. It's going to make its way. It's not going away. But I think that when we are vocal about we need to have child protections, let us not forget to identify why. It's because of what this junk is. This stuff is bad on every single level. It's deplorable. It's despicable. It's disgusting. And it is depraved and terrible for the people who participate in it and for the people who consume it. And frankly, the people who produce it should be held responsible for it, for destroying so many image bearers. We don't want to lose sight of the argument. We don't just want kids to be protected. We do, but that's not it. We also want our culture to wake up to the fact that what we are permitting and promoting and profiting from is so undignified for human beings. It's so wicked. Mrs. Friel and I were talking this morning in the bathroom. There was an article about, okay, it was some guy who thought he was a woman. And so apparently he would rub estrogen cream all over his body and then hold his adopted, however he got a hold of a child, daughter would at the age of 3. And the kid, the 3-year-old girl, started advancing into puberty at the age of 3 because this dude who thought that he was a woman was rubbing the estrogen cream on his, well, air quotes, daughter. And we just want to go, and that is right. And we should. But we also need to remember, even as we point out something evil, we need to identify why. It's more than what somebody like this did. Because if we just point to bad actions, first of all, they can respond and go, yeah, but you heterosexual people, you do evil things too. And it's like, yeah, you're right. They sure do. And we lose the argument. Well, I want to be careful that I don't make my case that transgenderism is a bad idea because this little three-year-old precious girl got hurt by it. I want to make the case, no, transgenderism is a state of brokenness. It is against nature, and it is certainly against God's desire for his children. Let's be careful that we don't lose. We might win a skirmish in protecting children, and that's good. But let's not lose the war because we lose the argument. Back to Great Britain we go. This is more than just an age verification thing where it's like, yeah, I'm over 18. It's more than that. Facial age estimation, photo or video, age checks that can be confirmed by a credit card provider, bank or phone operator, phone ID matching, which compares to government IDs like a passport, digital identity wallets that contain proof of age. In other words, in Great Britain, they're getting serious about it for those 18 and under. Is it 18 and under or is it over the age of 18? It's for over 18. Yeah, we're protecting kids. Why aren't we protecting adults? If this stuff is not safe, if it is dangerous, it should simply be outlawed, period. Not gonna happen. Now, the regulator group that is implementing this has the power to impose fines of up to $24 million or 10% of worldwide revenue on companies that refuse to comply. And senior managers can be sent to jail for up to 2 years. And I'm great. That should be the least of what they receive for what they're doing to children. Here's the problem. The last paragraph of this article from Christian Post. The obvious workaround for UK residents is to use a VPN with international servers. In other words, the kids are going to get around it. They're going to get around it. This stuff is awful. And it's an indicator that we are a society that has totally lost our way. The internet, it is a blessing and it is foul all at the same time. Here's another story of this is just wicked business out there. I don't want to be Henny Penny, but please, mom and dad, protect your kids from this garbage on the internet. It's like literally handing them a Playboy magazine and saying, don't you look inside there now. I've got to go do some chores. You wouldn't do that, but that's what we do. And we give them a cell phone and they can just use it. Former CEO of My Faith Votes pleads guilty to child porn possession. Cool. He pled guilty to two cases so that the other six could be dismissed. Apparently, somebody in his family went onto his computer and discovered, hey, look at what dad is viewing. 100 children, some of them under, I think some of them were about the age of 3. They were under 10. And so we asked the question, what can I do about this? Please note, if this becomes your issue and you're like, we got to do stuff about this, I say rock on. I say you do that. But I don't think everybody is called to do that. Some are, and we should support and encourage them. But here's what everybody is called to, and this does make a difference. We are called to make disciples. We are called to make the most of every opportunity to share the great news that there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ, even for those who look at wicked images, even for those that put children in shock collars. They can be forgiven. That's how great grace is. And we can proclaim that And maybe you feel overwhelmed by all of these stories and the trends and the economy and world affairs and what's going on with Israel. And then there's Ukraine. Is there anything I can do? The answer is yes. You can share your faith right where you are. This is what makes a difference. This is how nations are changed. If you want to be a nation changer, this is how you can actually do something. You and I are not going to affect some. We're none of us, very unlikely, are going to be elected king where we can simply bang our scepter and say, this is how everybody's going to think, believe, and behave from henceforth. I'd like that personally, but we can do something. And it's the very thing that our Savior left us with before he ascended into heaven. Go and make disciples. If you're grieved by what the world is doing, thinking, behaving, scared for your kids, you don't have to lie down. I don't think that we become rebels. We're not revolutionaries. We're not the resistors. What are we? We're the good news ambassadors. And we can and all should do that. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.